92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada, whatever you'd like to talk about. But we also have to look across the United States to see what could be coming our way. 884-9910, if there's an issue you've got on your mind, as Monty called in the last segment, we were talking about firearms and your rights. Well, sometimes your rights are challenged. And right now, that is happening in the state of Virginia, a state that was literally purchased by Mr. Bloomberg, the gentleman who is running for president, Michael Bloomberg, and his anti-Second Amendment ways. Joining us today on the show is American author and conservative political activist, author of Gun Rights Fact Book, and just all-around good guy. It's Alan Gottlieb. Hi, Alan. Thank you for being here.
Monica, it's always great to be with you.
Alan, where is it? I'm really not understanding this. When someone becomes an elected official, an elected representative, they swear an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States and the American people. Yet we have people in Virginia who are now putting into legislation to have it go through their body to actually confiscate firearms. How can that, in any law-abiding citizen's mind, be legal?
Well, we don't think it is legal, but doesn't stop politicians from doing things of that nature all over the country. There is a pushback in Virginia now, where a number of cities and counties are becoming so-called sanctuary cities, part of a sanctuary movement that will not enforce any of the gun laws that Virginia's legislature now tries to pass, including their confiscation bill. So there is some pushback, but unfortunately for us, politicians take an oath of office, and many times they obviously, ignore the oath of office or violate it. And our only recourse, the courts have pretty much ruled that you can't challenge the politicians in court, but you can challenge the legislation in court. The only way you can challenge the politicians is at election day at the ballot box. And so our courts give them a pass, so to speak, and don't hold them individually responsible for corrupting and destroying our constitutional rights. The only way you can do that is vote them out of office, but you can challenge the laws in court, and we will surely challenge these new Virginia laws in court.
It's mind-boggling of how people can even think about this, especially since they're moving on to not only rifles, but to handguns, to pistols.
Yeah, the gun grabbers, so to speak, really don't want anybody to own any kind of gun, period. And, they sort of like to define any gun over 12 inches long as an assault rifle and ban it, and any gun under 12 inches long as a so-called Saturday Night Special, and ban it as well, leaving you nothing for self-defense. And the courts have pretty much ruled you can't do that. You have a right of self-defense, and you have the means to defend yourself, you don't have the right. So we have a lot of challenges going. In fact, right now we're directly engaged. The Second Amendment Foundation has 4 cert petitions before the U.S. Supreme Court on cases right now, and there's 2 more we have amicus briefs that we filed in. And, of course, the court just heard oral arguments on one case, which they may and may not rule on. They may declare it moot because New York City, who is being challenged, changes their law to try and make the court not rule on it because they realized they were going to lose. So the court, hopefully the courts will be pretty active in defending our rights over the next year or two. And thank God that Donald Trump has been able to nominate a couple Supreme Court justices, get them confirmed. And likewise, now we're closing in on close to 200 lower court judges as well, which are really, really important because, in all honesty, less than 1% of the cases appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court ever get a chance to be heard because there's so many cases that they have to consider. So most of these cases end up dying at the appeals court level. And so it's really important that President Trump appointed and get nominated, got those people confirmed. And if we could have Trump reelected for another 4 years and get that many more judges onto the courts, we might be able to protect our Second Amendment rights for decades and decades to come.
Well, we might be able to protect all of our rights and even our country, because we just had a California judge an Obama appointee, just saying, not, you know, saying they're for or against, but just said that holding an illegal alien for 48 hours so ICE can come pick them up is unconstitutional. What constitution are they looking at?
They're not. I mean, this is, things have gotten so out of hand that we no longer have civil discourse in our country, or any, a lot of these judges do not pay any attention to what the Constitution says. It's what they want to do. It's ruled by man, not ruled by law.
Exactly. Alan, for people to keep track of what the Second Amendment Foundation is doing for their rights to help protect them, especially if we're able to move on into the Supreme Court, what should they do? How do they follow you?
Well, all these cases are actually on our website at saf.org, samalphafrank.org, or just put Second Amendment Foundation in any browser, and of course our website will pop up. And then go to the tabs. The legal cases don't get updated quite as fast as they should, but if you go to under news releases, we put releases out about all the cases, so it's probably easier to find out what's going on under the news release section.
Alan, do you think that this whole thing, the whole situation in Virginia, is just kind of a bellwether test to see if this is something they can move across to each state? Because that's where they seem to be going now, is just, we'll do state by state by state, and we'll diminish the Constitution and our Second Amendment that way.
Yeah, that, to a large extent, you're correct. If they had control of both houses of Congress and the White House, they wouldn't be going state by state. They'd be doing it nationally at one time. But since that door is closed for them right now, they then move it to the states, which I find really funny, because they always talk about how we don't have national policies, they don't work. But then when they can't get national policies, they do them on a state basis where they admit they don't work. So, I mean, they'll do anything they can to destroy your right to keep your arms any which way they can. But, yeah, it is a bellwether to the extent that this election, the elections in Virginia this year, were bought and paid for by the anti-gun, you know, gun lobby and billionaires like Michael Bloomberg, who put a fortune into it and outspent gun rights groups by 7 to 10 to 1. And we're seeing this in a number of states, not just in elections for candidates, but also on ballot measures. And you saw that with Bloomberg in Nevada a few years ago. I've seen it in my home state of Washington. Bloomberg's now got one going on in Florida. He's tried it in a few other states as well. And when you have these billionaires who can put tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, quite frankly, into attacking our rights, it's very hard for us to compete. So every gun owner, like it or not, even if it's only $5 or $10, has to chip in right now, because we don't have these billionaires who are these political elitists, part of the political ruling class, on our side. And they just want to attack our rights. And so anybody who could help out at saf.org, they could donate there as well.
Well, and you're absolutely 100% correct, because we saw the Michael Bloomberg money go into the campaign for Governor Sisolak, and, well, we have red flag laws now. And even though we're trying to get him recalled and get these things changed, it takes money, and it just seems like we don't have it.
Well, we don't have it because, you know, for us, it takes a lot of time to raise a lot of $5, $10, $25 contributions to do something. We don't have anybody like Michael Bloomberg who opens their checkbook and writes $100 million check. And that's what he's done to the anti-gun groups. And it's like, you know, they don't have to spend any time fundraising. He just feeds them the money to do the damage to our gun rights. And we got to let them know our gun rights are not for sale and that we have to do something about it.
We absolutely do. So please log on to saf.org. And Alan, once again, thank you so much for your time and keeping an eye on the Supreme Court and all these other cases to keep us better informed. Alan Gottlieb, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And make sure you pick up one of Alan's books, Politically Correct Guns, Gun Rights Book Fact, or Gun Rights Fact Book. It's all good. That's what you have to do. You have to educate yourself, because these anti-Second Amendment organizations out there are just trying to play on your sympathies, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, when you I'm not diminishing shooters out there who go into safe zones and kill multiple people. It is a horrible, horrific act. But when you have President Obama put down mass shootings as some shooting that is three people or more, that is a mass shooting. That happens in Chicago almost every other weekend. It doesn't work that way. Why did he do that? Because it changes the numbers. It changes the statistics. And now when people come and say, we have more mass shootings in this country than ever before, they have the numbers to back it up because they change them to suit their needs. It's not right. We have to stop acting on emotions. These mothers for action, that's just amazing. They're just gun grabbers, anti-Second Amendment supporters. That's all they are, trying to take away your rights. They're not thinking about anything else or anybody else. Stop feeling and start thinking when it comes to the legislative process, the people who we get in office, and making them accountable. Hold them accountable in the next election. Live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada, 884-9910 or Monica at 991fmtalk.com. We'll be back with more of your talk on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
I could say so many things about these people right now. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Who am I speaking about?
Mr. Grinch.
Porch pirates.
Your heart's an
on the rise, of course, because we are going into the holidays. Christmas just around the corner, so what are people doing? They're ordering online, especially now that we had Cyber Monday. That's just pretty much the hint to them. Guess what? I got packages coming to the house. So 3 years ago, for my 50th birthday, what a wonderful gift. My husband got me not a ring, but the ring for the front door because it's pricey. So he surprised me with it. He knew I had wanted it for a long time. Not saying I'm paranoid or anything like that. But now every time that little chime goes off, my mind immediately goes to porch pirates. And if you don't know what a porch pirate is, it's people who literally follow UPS trucks, FedEx trucks, even mail trucks, because they're doing the door delivery now. Or they cruise neighborhoods, mostly higher end neighborhoods, because they know that people will be at work, something that they don't want to do. And they watch for packages on your porch. This is not an advertisement for Ring, because I think there are a few other brands out there now that you can buy. But get that little motion detector. Get the camera. Get whatever you need to secure your property. Because as a few listeners from Sparks have pointed out to me, and a few here from Reno, the cops don't just cruise neighborhoods anymore just to make sure neighborhoods are safe. So you have these people out there that just have no values. They don't care who they're taking from. They don't care that that could actually be your medication being delivered. It's just It's our society nowadays. If you want protection, you need to protect yourself. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910. Check in with Mike this morning. Let's talk about our rights, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, we've been losing our rights for years. You look back during Katrina, they did gun confiscation there. Look at civil asset forfeiture. We have a Fourth Amendment right. That doesn't mean anything because they can take your property if they deem it they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Nevada and all over, and the courts have ruled that it's okay. DUI checkpoints. You have that probable cause. Being Saturday night or Friday night, it's not probable cause to stop somebody.
Exactly.
But they use safety. Go to tax court. You cannot take the law. You can't take the tax code into tax court to defend yourself. You can't plead the Fifth Amendment, which is not to self-incriminate. They did it when they went to Congress, all the IRS agents, where they wouldn't allow conservatives to have 501c3. We're not allowed to do that there. So our rights have been taken away. This is nothing new. It's been going on for years, and they have a plan, and they're sticking to their plan, and we keep losing ground constantly.
I agree with you 100% on that. And too many people have ignored the process, especially when voting, because when you go into a voting booth or you've got your ballot in front of you, you don't know who judges are. You don't know who attorneys are. You don't know who school board members are. You just either mark the incumbent or you ask someone you know, who are you voting for, and see if somebody else knows. Or, as unfortunately, they say, you mark the top box. People even do that. So, Mike, we have nobody but ourselves to blame for getting into this situation, but you pointed out what I try to point out to people, and that this is a plan. This is a long-term plan from decades back that people have been working on, and they're succeeding at it.
Yeah, there's like a communist manifesto at 40 or 50 points. And if you look at it, they've almost succeeded on all of them to convert our country. There's another book by Gary Allen, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which is a great book everybody should read. And another thing, if you order from Amazon, if you go to what's called Amazon Smile or Smile Amazon, you can actually, when you buy stuff through there on that part of Amazon, there's a place where you can donate to the Second Amendment Foundation if you want to.
Oh, you can?
Yes,
I did not realize they allowed that.
Because they're 501c3 and part of your purchase will go towards a donation to them.
God, you know, I am so glad you brought that up. I'm going to have to go in and switch mine because I think this is more important right now. And unfortunately, as much as we say we hate Bezos, he came up with a damn good idea. And I like to buy local, but sometimes it's just more convenient. That's why we have more Porch Pirates.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Mike, thank you so
much.
You know, and Mike, it's not only the books for the conservatives, but there are books for the progressives out there as well, that it's not just the manifesto that people read, but also books like, A Post-America World or a Post-World, Post-America. I mean, it's just, there are things out there that we need to start reading their playbooks to figure out what they're doing to us.
Yes.
Mike, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate try to enlighten as many people as you can. That's all we can do, because there are too many people that consider themselves just everyday people. You know, they don't have to worry about stuff like this. That'll never happen. There are too many people out there watching those in charge. No, there's not. We're outnumbered now. We need every single person we can get to turn this ship around and be the United States of America once again, with a constitution, a Bill of Rights, two pieces of paper that are held above all else for all of us. Obama said it. And I'm proud to be one of those people that is clinging to my God, clinging to my gun, and cleaving to my life. For all of us. We'll be back after this Fox News break. We'll have more on, water studies for Reno that are basically being ignored. We'll be back with more on the parks that are filling up once again because people use the law to work in their advantage. Imagine that. It's the Monica Jay Show, your show. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's gonna be one happy Christmas. One happy Christmas. You and me and all the children.
If you actually get your Christmas packages and you haven't been hit by the porch pirates, that's for sure. Especially on this foggy day, they love it. Harder to see. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. And some important things going on that you need to know about because, well, the news thinks it's just kind of blasé information. So we need to focus on it for you. And I say we because right now Paul White from Quality of Life Reno joins me. Hello, Paul. Thank you so much for being with me.
Good morning, Monica.
So it's one thing if you do a water test and it comes up with just horrendous numbers of how polluted our drinking water source, the Truckee River, is, because nobody knows you. They don't know the labs you use. But when Tumwa does a test and it's basically just kind of ignored or put off, not really built up, that's another thing, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, it sure is. All these things kind of coming together, you know, Monica. Like, Tumwa did a presentation, a slide presentation at the council meeting, city council yesterday. And I'll tell you, it should be a must-watch for everybody in the valley. Just pictures of the piles of needles and the bags of feces and stuff. And I don't mean just on the riverbank. I mean thrown into the treatment ponds. And these guys going out of their way to try to pollute this water source and just scads of needles. And then here's the issue. Now, the council approved $250,000 to clean up the riverbank. Well, good for them.
Except yeah, with a private that, company.
Right, except that who has allowed it to get that way over the last few years? The same council. And when the mayor was talking about how concerned she was just going on and on about just that it's dangerous for them to be so close to the water in case we had a big flood. No mention of the fact that 500 people, and, you know, with this 30-day challenge we've got going on, less than 1%, which means, like, maybe three of those 500 people want to get out of there. The others are perfectly okay there. They're poisoning that water for 500,000 people. That's not mentioned. And the council didn't even move on it, Monica, until the health department gave them a violation. I mean, the community's just got to start absolutely pounding away with phone calls and writing and everything they can do about this.
Yeah, this is the only reason why this is being addressed is because the people are finally, from your pictures, from your comments, from walking along the trails and people sending in pictures, this has been completely ignored. Tell me about this internal memo. I read a little bit about it to the chief of police from the city that they do have the power to enforce the law when it comes to people who are along the river and everything just saying that, oh, this is my only home. You can't put me out of here.
Oh, yeah, see, this 30-day challenge, what we're finding, you know, so far, less than 0.5% of everybody we're combing the streets talking to, and all the ambassadors, too, are reaching out, trying to send them our way. Less than 0.5%, Monica, even want to talk about, oh, you mean you could get me, I'd have to get clean and sober and be willing to work? Less than 0.5%. So what's that tell you? And then for the council to go on and on about, oh, we have to relocate them. whose job is it to relocate people who have come in to trespass on this? They're not there because there's no resources. It's just crazy. So this internal memo, yeah, was from the city attorney, Carl Hall, to the chief of police and the city manager. And it just basically said, yeah, here's absolutely what you can do to go arrest those guys in the parks. Here's the procedures you go through to get them out of there. And for your listeners out there, QOL Reno's putting together of we're visiting all 87 parks in Reno, and we're taking notes of which ones have got illegal campers. We'll have this done in the next week or so, and we'll have it up on our site. And we encourage, we'll tell here's the situation in our parks, here's what's being done. People can check out there. They can call in with information. We're going to stay on this until our parks are all as good as Pickett and Broadhead.
Well, and we're starting to get more and more complaints from the residents that, well, it just keeps moving them into different areas. I guess Whitaker Park is now overrun, and Galetti down at Fisherman's Park over in that area, it's overrun.
Stabbing yesterday.
Yep. And it's gotten so out of hand. And again, you have to ask yourself, who was mayor while this was all going on? Who were the council members when this was all going on and just being let go? Who was the city attorney when this was all just being let go?
Right. It's not like just some mystery that came upon us. And for instance, you know, months ago when you went out and did your live show out there in North Valley, and we found the illegal squatters, we identified the property owners, and we posted evacuation notices, and the police said then they would come in and clean it up. Reno police hasn't even gotten their tires dirty getting off the road there. Those guys are still there. We've got a property owner they've allowed it's going to be about a $30,000 cleanup of squatters' trash and waste on his property. And the police will absolutely have refused to come out there and ticket these guys. We did everything they said. There's just an absolute breakdown in law and order and government of the city. There's no other way to describe it.
Paul, speaking of that, when we went out and we did the show live, what happened as a result with the tractor trailer that was dumped out there after an accident from the company out of Sacramento? Did they ever come clean that up?
No, hasn't been one change in any way, Monica. We did everything they've said, and it's Reno Police's jurisdiction. Now, the sheriff's come out there kind of an appeasement move. At one time, we had three or four of them up there going with us when we were putting up evacuation notices, which we have on film. Nobody has done a thing. That huge tractor trailer's still there. Those camps we visited, still there.
I hate to say this because I really don't want to play this game, but I think that we need to post pictures of that tractor trailer because we got all the information, the name of the company, and the phone number and everything like that. Post that to my Facebook page. And we need to shame these people. If we need the residents of Reno to call this company who works here in Reno that is from Sacramento with these delivery trucks, we need to shame them and say, hey, come clean up your garbage from our desert, from our properties here, because they're just letting it sit there.
Well, we're hearing another thing that's not good, Monica. Just came in. It'll be in today's hot sheet. You know, Channel 4 did this absolutely tepid piece about what went on yesterday with the presentation. And you remember they were there when we were filming your show in North Valley, and they wouldn't go off the road. They just filmed down there. They wouldn't come up on the drive with us to really see things. Well, so I called over there today, and I said, you know, you've got this investigative reporter. You got Joe Hart there. You've got this thing where you're going to expose these situations. I said, you've got this incredible thing, and you're not doing any story on it. Well, the feedback we're getting from sources, Monica, is that City Hall is putting the pressure on the TV stations, including for not to get close to this story at all. That they're pressuring them. That's what we're hearing as
of
this
morning. I mean, they don't want this put in the into the limelight, into people's minds. So we have to just keep pushing it. We have to keep sharing the pictures and get things done. The community has to call. And the community not only has to call the city representatives from the fluff piece, you know, that Reno News and Review did on the mayor. I mean, it's just incredible. All pieces that are done on the mayor are just fluff pieces.
Right.
They need to hold their media accountable as well. They need to start calling the TV stations, the radio stations, anybody who is doing this reporting and saying, why aren't you getting out there and talking about the important stuff? Why aren't you you're our media. You're our voice. You're supposed to be representing us. And getting the media, the news directors, and the management to actually cover news and not the fluff.
Right. Right. They're absolutely doing a disservice to the community. And, I mean, that doesn't even take it strong enough. When Tumwa is showing this horrid situation with our water treatment facilities, how they're being abused, and when the mayor yesterday is going on and almost seeming to get a little teary about, well, just how dangerous it is, that's why we've got to get the people. That's why it matters with the truckie, because we've got some scammers and criminals polluting the river, and a big flood might get them, not a mention of the drinking water for the entire valley.
You know, I mean, maybe that's why she wanted her own reality TV show that was nixed, because she's such a fantastic actress. You know, that's pretty damn impressive when you can get up there and get teary-eyed when, well, you haven't been teary-eyed for the last 4 years. I don't get it. So,
yeah.
Great acting. Great acting.
Lot going on.
Paul, thank you so much. Where can people find that hot sheet?
They can contact qol-reno.org. Just go on our site and they can sign up for it, or they can call in on our number, email us. Just tell us they want to get a emailed free copy of it. We try to get it out weekly, and we'll put them right there. It's the only place other than your show where they're going to hear the truth about what's going on.
That's the truth there. Paul White, QOLReno.org. Thank you so much for joining me today. And
thank you,
we'll speak again. Join us tomorrow. Pat Cashel, former CEO of the Homeless Shelter, joining me, and the gentleman who put together the Karma Boxes, which I think are absolutely very cool. You know, you don't have to do a lot to help. Every little bit helps, but until your elected representatives do the major things, we're all just spinning our wheels. Stick around. We'll be more with your live and local FM talk on The Monica Jay Show right after we pay some bills so we can keep going here at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Christmas in America, a blessed time of year. Children laugh and carolers sing, and Santa mounts his gear. Family, friends, and food and fun.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show, 884-9910, and Monica at 991fmtalk.com. And speaking of the show, it's foggy out there. And guess what? It's going to be foggy tomorrow, too. The fog advisory has now been extended until about 10, 12 o'clock tomorrow. Friday. So we are definitely into the grips of winter, even though technically it is still fall. Doesn't matter. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with David, who wants to add to our homeless conversation that we just had with Paul White. Hi, David.
Hello. Good morning. Just real quickly, I'm in business here in town. I run distribution centers, and to me, it emphasizes the point that people really are not incentivized to do stuff, as your earlier caller did. I have for years, when I see people with a sign that says, need help, I roll down my car window and I give them my business card and I say, you call me, I will give you a job. I will put you to work so you can make some money to start to get out of the hole you're in. I've been doing that for 30 years in town. In 30 years, I've gotten 2 phone calls. And to me, that just shows that people are not incentivized to back up your previous caller's comments.
Why would you have to work when you can just stand there? And you know the generosity of people will give you what you want because services give you what you need. I mean, the services are out there.
Which gets me to my point that, to me, the solution to the homeless problem has nothing to do with, you know, arrest or citations or punishment. That won't solve the problem. What will solve the problem is arranging the incentives. Everybody in life goes off incentives. You are incentivized because your passion for the job and making money, mm-hmm. that's why you do it. So if we take away the incentives and people are not incentivized to live downtown and get money and get all that kind of stuff, maybe that's the solution instead of the negative way, is to remove those incentives.
David, you just hit on a fact that goes further than the homeless, that goes to the illegals, that goes to the people who are addicted to drugs. When someone's addicted to drugs, you don't give them free needles,
right.
But that's what we do.
I agree, 100%. Take away the incentive. That's the solution.
Yeah, but then you have to be willing to fight those on the left who are just going to say you are cruel, you are racist, you have no heart, and, well, you're just a bad person. And then they start with the threats on you to make sure that you're miserable by attacking your customers and being prepared for that because that's what they do. You can't have rational conversations with people who are just so far off to the left now that we can't even function as a well-meaning society. David, thank you for what you're doing. I mean, to hand out your business card and offer people jobs. Again, we know the jobs are there. People aren't taking advantage. Well, they are taking advantage, but they're not taking advantage of the jobs and being a reasonable part of society. David, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. It's people like you that are going to make the difference. It's people like David. It's people like Paul. It's people who are willing to call up your elected representative and say, enough is enough. We've had it with this. Look at what has happened in San Francisco. What has happened in Portland? What has happened in Seattle? What has happened in LA? Atlanta. This is not just these major cities. You start looking at overpasses wherever you go, and you will start noticing. You will start seeing. All we have to do is open our eyes. We're going through life with blinders on, or we have been, and now it's time to take those blinders off. It's not just about getting the kids to soccer. It's not just about making sure that you've got dinner on the table at a certain time. It's about us as a society, where we are going to go. We know that we are not racist. We know that we are supportive of people in need. We give and give and give until it hurts. And then our elected representatives want more. So we can come up with new incentives, new donations. Let's build these little homes for people who are homeless. Great. Now we can have a shanty town. So people can go and do their drugs with a roof over their head. In San Francisco, you have places where you can do your drugs without being hassled. There was a picture the other day on the web of a man standing in the street with a needle hanging in his arm, with others just sleeping around him in their filth. But you know what the mayor of San Francisco wants? You know what the governor of California wants? They want the U.S. government to come in and take care of it. It's Trump's fault. No, Trump is the solution. You are the solution. 2020 is the solution. Ask people the hard questions and make them follow through. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM.